This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Next week, on Saturday night, the 26th of December, it'll be the first night of the African-American cultural holiday known as Kwanzaa. It originated in 1966 with Dr. Malala Karenga, a black activist and scholar who created Kwanzaa to promote and celebrate seven traditions of African heritage, one for each of the seven nights of Kwanzaa. Joining us now to talk about the history and traditions of Kwanzaa and also to share a short storytelling performance is Donna Washington. Donna is a professional storyteller, arts educator, and author of several children's books, including The Story of Kwanzaa and Lil Rabbit's Kwanzaa. She's based in North Carolina, though she spent several years in Chicago and continues to perform there. Hello, Donna. Welcome to The 21st.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Listeners, we want to also invite you to join our conversation. Are you celebrating Kwanzaa this year? Do you have a favorite Kwanzaa tradition? Or maybe you have a question about Kwanzaa for our guest, Donna Washington. Join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Donna, can you tell us a little bit about the history of Kwanzaa, how it began?
Well, this is always tricky because how far back shall we go?
At the beginning of time.
So the thing about Kwanzaa to understand is that in America, we are the melting pot, right? We have traditions from all over the world that got melted in. You know, when we first started our country, we did not celebrate Christmas. It was considered religious, and our founding fathers thought that was an anathema, that we would be celebrating something religious. So there was no Christmas. That happened when the German immigrants showed up here and had all these really cool things like Christmas trees. In the African-American experience, it's a little trickier because we were not allowed to be part of the culture. African-Americans weren't allowed to earn wealth. They weren't allowed to hold property. They weren't even allowed to learn how to read and write. And then emancipation arrived, and there was no culture of African-Americans living in free communities in the country. And so as they were trying to figure out how to do that, as my ancestors were trying to figure out how to do that, laws are being put in place to make it really hard for them to do that. And that brings us, you know, into Reconstruction and, you know, the active destruction of African-American communities, to the point where we got to the 60s and everyone was saying, what's wrong with the black family? Why aren't they thriving?
Sure.
You guys have been free for a long time. What's your problem? And so there was a huge push in the African-American community and really minority communities and in conjunction with allies to create laws and structures that would help African-Americans at least begin to start building and maintaining communities. And the festival of Kwanzaa was one of those. Each of the various days of Kwanzaa, the Nguzo Saba, which are the seven principles, are built around ways to help establish, build, grow, and to care for communities, any kind of community at all, but definitely building structure and culture into the African-American tradition.
And I want to come back to those seven principles, the Nguzo Saba, in a moment, but first, I want to ask, this is strictly a cultural holiday, right? It's not religious. And maybe you can talk about why that's important to make that distinction.
There is a really huge misunderstanding that somehow this is like Black Christmas or something. And it is, there is no requirement that you throw out any other holiday. This is really a civil rights festival. And the whole point of it is to get people to learn what businesses are in their community, to celebrate being part of community, to actively focus on what each and every person owes their community. Because you can get nothing out of a community that you do not put into it, but you can get a lot less out of everything if you do nothing.
Okay, so let's get into it then. You mentioned seven nights of Kwanzaa, seven principles of Kwanzaa, Nguzo Saba in Swahili. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit about them? And I don't know if there are a couple you want to focus on or just sort of provide a brief overview.
So the idea behind it is Malala Karenga, who called himself Ron, right? He was born Ron. He chose Swahili because it's a Pan-African language, which means it's spoken across a lot of different countries. He chose it because it represents a lot of different Pan-African people. And each day you're supposed to light a kenara, which is, you know, a candle holder, which is another thing, you know, he borrowed from different traditions. And you're supposed to focus on the Nguzo Saba or the principle of the day. And I think my favorite one is the second day because of the name, right? It's Kuji Chagulia, which means self-determination. It means that we are responsible for choosing our own destiny, that we don't let other people decide who we are or where we're going. You don't let other people speak for you. You stand up, you speak for yourself, you say what you want, and you don't let other people arrange your life. And considering that for a very large portion of the African-Americans here in America weren't allowed to do that. And so we get to speak for ourselves, basically. And I think that's my favorite one. Though, as an artist, Kuumba, which is the day number 6, which means creativity, which basically means you leave the world a more beautiful place than what you found. That's my favorite, favorite day, being an artist, a spoken word artist, and someone who really revels in the various celebrations that often happen around Kwanzaa time.
I'm going to say my eyes were drawn to Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Can you talk a little bit about that? You mentioned, you know, seeking out Black businesses in your community. Is that right? Is that part of that?
Well, Ujamaa basically means what the idea behind it is, going to Black-owned businesses. And what we say, I live in Durham, North Carolina, so we have a lot of different minority-owned businesses, Black-owned business. But I also, my family also encompasses businesses that are owned by Hispanic families or Asian families, any family that would be a minority owned business in our area. We tend to either go out and have a meal or we go buy things, but it means really to support your local businesses that are run by your neighbors in your community. And every year we make a point of doing that on Ujamaa.
Okay, you mentioned a moment ago creativity. As I said earlier, you've written 2 storybooks about Kwanzaa. You're also a performing storyteller. In pre-COVID times, at least, you performed at festivals around the country, won several awards, and I understand you have a short story to perform and share with us today. Do you want to introduce it first?
Sure. It is a West African story, a story called The Cowtail Switch, and this is an incredibly abbreviated version of it. But I chose it because it actually encompasses a good number of the Nguzo Saba. So let me just go on and get it told here. There was once a hunter named Ogulusa who was a very, very proud man. And he took his spear and his leopard skin and he went out to hunt and he didn't come back. Now he had a whole lot of children and the youngest was called Puri and she didn't even speak. And that first night when he didn't come back, one of them said, "Where is our father?" And no one had an answer. And over the course of weeks, people asked the question and no one had an answer. A year passed. People had stopped asking the question until Puri, who was so little she couldn't speak when he left, suddenly sat up and her first words were, "Where is my father? Where is Ogulusa?" And they realized they hadn't seen him. And she says, "Well, what do you remember?" And someone said, "Oh, he took his spear, he went hunting." "Well, go find him." So the children go out and one of them is good at finding the path and they do that. And when they find him, he has been killed by a lion that he was hunting. And all the children stand around and they all have these little gifts. One of them says, "I know how to put the bones back together," and they do that. One of them says, "I know how to put the sinews back on," and they do that. "I know how to put the skin back on," and they do that. "I know how to make the blood pump." And eventually they bring him back to life. And they come back to the village and Ogulusa shaves his head because apparently that's what you do when you come back from the dead. And he slaughtered a cow and he made a cowtail switch and he had a big festival for everyone to come and because he was back from the dead. And people really wanted that cowtail switch. And it was immediately decided that he should give it to a child, whichever one did the most to bring him back. And everyone lines up behind different children. They found the path. They put the bones back together. What about the skin? What about this? But he gives it to the youngest, Puri, because she did the most to bring him back. She remembered him. And if we are remembered by those who love us and we listen and they tell our stories, then we are never truly gone. And so Kwanzaa is about unity, working together. It is about self-determination. It is about working together financially and as a community. It's about hope and caring and faith and creativity. And that story is about all of those things.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Donna. I want to remind our listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Donna Washington, a storyteller, spoken word artist, and author of several children's books, including The Story of Kwanzaa and Lil Rabbit's Kwanzaa. Donna, Kwanzaa was created in 1966, as we said earlier, during the height of the civil rights movement. This year, we've seen nationwide demonstrations for racial justice following the killing of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and too many others. Is there a particular significance for Kwanzaa in this year of all years?
I think that to look at the Nguzo Saba, to look at the principles of what it is we are trying to accomplish, not even just as a people, but as a country right now, I think it would be useful for all of us to think about the coming year and what we can do to go forward and make the world a better place. And Kwanzaa is an amazing festival that is for that. And it would really behoove us as a country to begin really looking at it and making choices about what we want out of the country we live in, which is really what Kwanzaa is about. Figuring out how we're going to go forward together and make things work.
You mentioned a short while ago some of the principles that speak most to you about Kwanzaa. Are there other Kwanzaa traditions or celebrations? Maybe, I don't know if there's a particular food that goes with it that you enjoy every year.
Well,
if that makes sense.
One of the things that you do during Kwanzaa time is you eat food that comes out of the Pan-African areas. So any soul food, right? food that was traditionally African-American, you know, from Hop and John to greens, chicken. Hop and John is my favorite, which is black-eyed peas and bacon. And you eat that for the, you know, good luck in the new year. Benny cakes, which are African, they're sesame seed cakes. I really love Benny cakes. And I didn't when I first started. I was like, oh, but I've gotten used to them and I found better recipes. When I first started, there weren't a lot of great recipes for these things. You eat sesame seeds for good luck in the new year. So they're seed cakes and they're absolutely delicious. There's actually a recipe in the back of one of the Kwanzaa books I've written for it. And we enjoy it. We tell stories, we play games. It's a time for family togetherness. We also typically gather up a lot of canned goods and other things, household goods, also diapers and things like that. And we go to local food pantries and community kitchens. We volunteer to feed the homeless and the hungry. We do a lot of community stuff. And often there are celebrations. This year we don't have as many celebrations because people can't go out and gather in huge numbers. But we'll be doing some stuff online though.
Like so many other holidays this year, it's all going virtual.
Yes.
We'll have to leave it there. Our guest has been storyteller and arts educator Donna Washington. Her books for children include The Story of Kwanzaa and Lil Rabbit's Kwanzaa, which was just released in paperback this year. You can find out more about Donna's work, her books, and watch her storytelling performances. We just got a little taste on the show today. You can find that at donnawashington.com. Donna, thanks so much for joining us on the 21st today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
That is all the time we have for the 21st today. Tomorrow, we will be talking about Christmas movies. I want to know if you have a favorite. Please send us an email to talk@21stshow.org, or better yet, leave us a voicemail. You can call us up at 217-300-2121. Say what you have to say. Be sure to say your name and hometown. We might play it on air. Again, we're going to be talking about Christmas movies, holiday movies, tomorrow on the 21st. Want to hear what some of your favorites are at 217-300-2121. You can call 24/7. Again, the number 217-300-2121. Leave us a voicemail. We might play it on air. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi, Brielle Scholark, and Chantel Vaca. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.